All right, well, let us begin. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the warm shot, the discussion document on the business taxation review. We're not anticipating any interruptions to this press conference, but I should say that Peter's got to leave at 5 to 4, if we're still going at that point, for some live media. So don't be surprised if he walks out. This is not some kind of book out by United Future on the business taxation review. As this is a result of the confidence of supply agreement, particularly with United Future, in this case, let's ask Peter to begin some of the introduction.
Well, thank you, Michael. Good afternoon, everyone. This is, as he says, a consequence of the confidence and supply agreement with United Future. It is also the most significant review of business tax in New Zealand since 1988, a point that may be overlooked by some who don't remember those halcyon days. The proposals that we are setting out here are for discussion. If you took the total sum likely to be involved if all of the proposals were to be adopted, it would be somewhere in the order of $2 billion. So this is a bold set of measures. We've indicated, obviously, we cannot do all of them, but there is a significant capacity here to make major change to the way in which our business tax structure operates. And what we now await is the reaction, the discussion, and the prioritisation before we take final decisions.
Well, thank you, Peter. Would emphasise very much this is a business taxation review. That is the purpose of the agreement that we've had and the work that's gone on in that respect. We've tried to keep the discussion document as simple as possible and to avoid going into too many second and third and fourth order issues, because there always are a cascade of issues in taxation as soon as you start getting into any area or another, but that then tends to make it very difficult for the general person in the business sector to read the discussion document and not get buried in a mass of detail. We did consider some much larger structural changes to the business taxation system and ruled those out on the grounds that the likely gains from that were uncertain compared with changes to the current structure of the taxation system in terms of rates, depreciation, tax credits, and so on. There are obviously potential implications for personal taxation, but they're not dealt with within this document. They're not dealt with for really two reasons. Firstly, that we have to have the feedback on this document and make decisions around the business taxation review, and then those decisions also have to be in the context, along with any implications of personal taxation, couched against the fiscal background at the time those decisions are made. What would be affordable and sustainable over the medium to longer term. It also very much emphasised that the options which are within this document shouldn't be seen as a series of alternatives, if you like. There can be ands as well as ors. In other words, there can be changes both to the headline rate and the introduction of things like non-discretionary but targeted tax credits, by which we mean that they will apply to, say, research and development. There obviously needs to be some kind of screening of what is research and development in that context. There's not simply redefinition of expenditure to qualify. And things like changes to depreciation, black hole expenditure items, write-off at thresholds, for assets and so on and so forth. These are, if you like, a menu of things which don't preclude one, does not preclude another. They can run in conjunction. Just one technical point for those who perhaps aren't so obviously au fait with tax as most of the people within this room will be. A tax credit of, say, 15% for things like R&D and export market development at, say, a 30% corporate tax rate is the same as 150% deductibility, but applies even if you're not making sufficient profit to claim the full deduction. The reason for doing it as a tax credit is, of course, particularly for younger companies that are getting moving, then the problem is simply 150% deductibility, as there's not the profits there to make the deductibility again. So it's not a great deal of use accountant is in that, particularly that phase, development with tax credit is payable even if no profit has been made as part of the early years of a company's operation. That's why we went for that. I want to explain that because for those of you that are not familiar with the differences, you might think that sounds a bit mean. The reason for the 15% sort of upper limit was that all the advice we had, particularly around R&D, was that once you pushed beyond that sort of point, then the evidence was pretty clear that there was not a great deal of return in terms of increased economic activity overall. That a credit of somewhere around about a bit below 15% or about that level, just was around about 150%, was in effect the threshold beyond which there were diminishing returns from the investment and the effect that's being made through the taxation system. So we're now looking forward to the response. Obviously, what's going to say doesn't go far enough. It's always going to be the case. In any taxation change, effectively, there's a long line of Oliver Twists and a limited bowl of extremely high-quality gruel on offer in this particular case. If people want more and more, and that's always going to be the case. As Peter says, these are the largest changes proposed in the business taxation area for nigh on 20 years, and they follow on the changes which came into force on the 1st of April in terms of depreciation and so on. They will have a significant impact upon business should they be proceeded with in all or any of the various forms.
Is there a fiscal envelope
to this proposal? Yes and no. Sorry to be difficult, Dylan. What I mean by that is when we come to make those decisions, there will be, but we don't know what that is. And what I need to make clear is that if we are to deliver significant changes, then that is likely to have an impact upon the government's ability to deliver a range of other proposals, spending proposals, etc. And that will therefore have to be something that's dealt with in the broader context of Budget 2007. There doesn't seem to be the likelihood of a large free lunch available here, which will not have an impact upon the government's other spending priorities.
You've got quite a tight time frame on submissions.
Yes.
George, to fit in a start-up date. I mean, does that mean to you that it's a bit of a no-brainer that people will want to go through the tax?
It's a tight time frame because of the date we want the changes to take effect from. If you start from the 1st of April 2008 and work back, then you have to allow a certain period of time for firstly for decisions to be made, for legislation to be crafted and passed through Parliament, and then for systems to be set up. In fact, this time frame at the moment is very much at the margins. But I think that there's been so much emphasis on what's been coming that many of the interested parties will be ready to respond relatively quickly.
I don't anticipate anybody saying no.
No, but there's not much room for slippage here.
Dr. Cullen, you've estimated the corporate reduction at $540
million. It's a net, yes.
Just wondering if you could explain the difference between the Treasury, which says that 1% drop in company tax rate is cost $220 million,
so you get $660 million by year. Well, we also have a degree of variability around these estimates. Part of it depends upon what you assume in terms of flow through, the effect of imputation, what that does in terms of personal rates and so on and so forth. It doesn't assume second round behavioural responses, but even costing the first round effects, if you like, is not a precise art. I think we need to be clear about that around taxation changes of this sort.
Dr. Cullen, could you spell out what you mean by implications for the wider
sector? Not particularly, no. But there clearly are implications, as mentioned within the discussion document. Possible implications for top rate. A Labour-led government's not likely to want to change only the top rate and not have some impact upon thresholds or whatever further down the system. And the costs then, of course, start multiplying fairly rapidly. We have built into the fiscal forecast the proposed indexation move on April 2008, but they are, as people pointed out, very limited. Anything more than that will cost obviously more than the estimated cost of $300 million.
So when you make decisions on this and look at the cost of the business tax, will you take into account the likely implications for the cost of trying to fix up
well,
the business system?
That's one of the reasons why, for example, the so-called deep tax cut in corporate rate is rejected, that if we had a very large corporate tax rate cut, absent any other changes, and absent all the buttressing that many overseas regimes put around a large personal income tax differential, and those are some pretty nasty looking buttresses once you take a load to them and get used to them, and not very popular in the New Zealand context, then it becomes very difficult to maintain such a large spread without serious, if you like, deterioration of the integrity of the tax system.
You seem to have boxed away the income tax issue.
Not boxed away, not at all. If you're very clear what we're saying here, there are potential implications, but there's no point in having those as part of discussion around the business taxation framework itself. Once we've got decisions in that context, or preliminary decisions, then we can sit down and look at what does the fiscal framework allow, and what's the best means of translating that into any other changes in the taxation system.
So, India, though, is an
so nothing is ruled off at that point.
Right, but India there's an acknowledgement though that there would have to be some form of income tax. You've shifted the ground slightly here. You're now going to have to get, you're now looking at what will be affordable in terms of an income tax cut. There's also tacit acknowledgement there would have to be a lowering of...
There's not tacit acknowledgement. There is acceptance that there are potential implications which need to be talked through and worked through.
One of the things that's gone through this whole exercise has been, on the one hand, a recognition that this is a business tax review and we focus largely on the business sector, but on the other hand, which is why we didn't go down the more radical path of the deep cuts, is the consequences. And we have always factored in what the consequences might be, even though they might be outside the scope of this particular piece of work. But we're not doing this in isolation. But as Michael says, at the point that decisions are made on this, that's when you then start to look at what consequential decisions you need to address.
Well, let me put it this way, and just touched on, you had a little bit of a look at it. Are those potential implications sustainable?
Well, that's why we have to make those decisions in the broader fiscal context early next year. We go back to the budget this year, there was that very large differential between Treasury and IRD forecasts. I have to say, at this point, there is no clearer picture than there was at the time the budget was presented in that respect. And some external circumstances would suggest things are slightly softer at the moment than perhaps forecasts at that point, but we still can't tell. I mean, affairs in the Middle East, we're sitting here day by day looking at circumstances that may well impact upon the growth in the economy over the next year or two. We'd have a better feel of that, a better picture in our minds. At the point we have to actually make budget decisions, and those decisions are some months away at this stage. Those are decisions made around February, March next year.
On the differential, would you be comfortable with a gap of 39 top personal rate of 30 cents?
Personally, I'm always comfortable paying 39 cents, but that's not quite the question you're asking. There is an issue there which needs to be recognised and which we have to talk our way through.
There are other solutions to dropping the top rate in those circumstances, you say?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying other issues of thresholds also come into play in any case in such a discussion.
You're talking here about the other countries have got features in their tax systems which the words are protect them from exploitation of those differences between the sort of differential you've got. Are you looking at anything there?
No, that's why we reject them. I mean, the Nordic system is quite different, say, from the German system. It's a quite differential pattern of taxation on capital and labour. It has its own advantages, its own disadvantages. What was clear from our analysis was that there was no clear advantage in moving to such a system, potentially significant disadvantages, and, one has to take note, potentially significant problems carrying such changes through a New Zealand Parliament configured as it is. There's no point in doing a lot of work and then things collapse.
Going back to your previous answer, are you saying that if you had a gap of 9 cents and you could push the threshold of the top rate up high enough, it would have
to... No, it shouldn't kind of push me too far on that. As I said, this is a business tax review, but we will deal with the implications of personal tax when we have worked through decisions around business taxation. So let's do the next set of decisions when we get there, Not now. We haven't done the decisions on this yet.
You see, that's what we've done throughout this, to go back to Rob's question, throughout this whole exercise. We have looked at a range of possibilities. At each time, we have then tried to work through what the wider implications might be and how suitable or not they might be for the New Zealand context. That's why the Nordic solution, the Irish solution, or one or two Eastern European solutions were looked at, rejected. The trade-off of the payroll tax was rejected because the implications beyond the business tax review in each case created outcomes that we did not think were desirable for New Zealand. Equally, what we're both saying with this is at the time we make decisions, we will go through the same exercise in terms of what the implications are more broadly, and where we can, within the parameters that have been outlined, seek to address those.
Okay, pick up what Peter's saying there just a little bit further. The business taxation elements involve complexity. And they involve design issues which need to be talked through quite carefully, a lot of work. Changes around rates and thresholds actually is not intellectually difficult stuff. You know, it doesn't take a lot of thinking about them, it's just a matter of costing them, fundamentally.
Is there any support anywhere for a payroll tax?
Most of the world.
Well, maybe in Australia.
Most of the world. Nearly every developed country has a payroll tax. Right. We're quite unusually not having one.
Okay, I totally concede to you on that point, but say we match Australia on the corporate rates. Does that, by implication, mean we would look at other forms of...
Let's suppose we matched Australia in the corporate rate. What I then hope is that we could have some kind of agreement that will stop sort of having a big old whinge and focus on our advantages, because then we'll have accelerated depreciation, which the Australians don't, no payroll tax, which the Australians do, no capital gains tax, which the Australians do, no stamp duties, which the Australians do. If that doesn't look competitive, I don't know what is going to look competitive between Australian and New Zealand corporate taxation.
Would you be looking at the submissions you get from businesses and making decisions? I mean, if they come in overwhelming and say, give us the 3 cent cut on the company tax rate, don't worry about depreciation.
Well, it'll depend on the nature of the business. My experience so far is there are widely differing views on the type of business you talk to around there.
Well, how are you going to make judgments then about what are the priorities of business?
We will discuss that.
We just have to see what comes forward and the way in which they're argued and what the wider implications are.
Remember, the test here is that this is about economic transformation. It's about how we lift productivity, about how we drive stronger economic growth. So the question is also, which of this mix of instruments and changes will provide the best overall set of spurs, if you like, in that regard?
Do you already have a preferred set of options among us?
No.
Dr. Cullen, would you be looking at changes to the headline business tax rate if it wasn't for the deal that you've done with you on the future?
I really can't give a clear answer to that. That's always been on the agenda. I do note that in terms of our major political opponents, that was never a clear promise. Their taxation policy was to change personal rates and think about doing the headline rate on corporate if they could in 2008.
Sure, but in the other...
We'll pass over that quickly, shall we?
In the other budgets, there's been a bit over time. This finance minister hasn't been on the agenda.
No, that's not entirely true that no thought's ever been given to changes. It's a question of priorities, and I'm making clear to my colleagues at the present time, if we're to make any moves in these areas, then the probability is that that will mean deferral of a range of spending proposals.
The more targeted measures, like accelerated depreciation, seem to be targeting, say, manufacturers more than the service industries that we have. Is that the area you...
No, that's not entirely true. There will be a range of service industries which have had significant gains from the depreciation changes on the 1st of April this year, because if they were buying PCs for staff or whatever, then the changes at that point were quite significant from their perspective. And certainly changes around tax credits for export market development, for skills development and for R&D would in many cases be as relevant within the service sector as within large parts of the manufacturing sector.
Can you explain the difference between a tax credit for exporters and export subsidies which we impose in other countries do?
Many countries have some form of assistance in this respect. Our people actually compete on the international playing field facing upwards. One of the advantages of looking at this issue is you might have a more level playing field.
Okay, thank you.
When do you expect to make a decision on the thresholds?
That's within the context of next year's budget.
So
and therefore for 1 April 2008.
So if there are any flow on effects for personal tax, can we expect to see those outlined in the budget next year as well?
Yes, I don't think we could do one without the other. Decisions would need to be made within the same broad context, either before or at the budget time. Because if they come into effect on 1 April 2008, they're within the 2007-08 fiscal year.
So you wouldn't have to go through, in terms of income tax, you wouldn't have to go through another sort of tax review discussion document at all?
No, it does not have the same issues of complexity around it. It's an issue of fairness and balance, of priorities and of costs. Whereas these kinds of issues are much more complex of issues, trade-offs between various options, how you design those options are quite important as well. As the document mentions, there are potential implications for the taxation of savings vehicles. If you lower 33 to 30, what implications does that have for taxation on savings, for example? So there are lots of issues which flow off this, and since we're so officials, we would like to put a lot more in. And Peter and I were keen not to overwhelm people with a mass of hugely arcane technical detail, which makes it hard to see what sort of clear basic issues are.
At one stage, this document looked like it would be issued in volumes, but it's come back a little bit. But I think it's important just to get the time frame of this absolutely clear, because that drives a lot of the other decisions. By the beginning of September, we will have received the submissions, the analysis will have begun on those, we've started to work our way through the flavour of those. Then a lot of the information about the revenue streams will start to become a little clearer later in the year. We'll be in a position in February, I guess, to start talking about where this heads. That's the point at which the discussion about thresholds and any rate changes in the personal area comes in. Because, as I said earlier, if you're working to a 1 April 2008 implementation date, you are going to need to have the relevant legislation through Parliament by around the end of 2007. Mm. So when you start to put all those bits of the jigsaw in place, the timing is actually quite tight. And from here, our priorities are very clear in terms of the steps we will be taking to reach those final decisions. I'm the Minister of Revenue. I work closely with the Minister of Finance. We both meet on a weekly basis to talk about tax policy. I think it's very difficult to have a discussion about tax policy without involving the two of us.
Do you favour personal?
Oh, and my views on personal taxes are well known and have been
long
held. And but I'm equally committed to this business tax review. We put it in the agreement that we negotiated with the government after the election because we saw that as the priority. Because, as I said at the beginning, there hasn't been a review of business tax arrangements in nearly 20 years of this complexity, of this comprehensive nature. Of course, if there are consequences, we will address them. And I've got every confidence that in working through those issues, we can demonstrate the same degree of flexibility and pragmatism that we have in getting this document together over the last few months.
Will the possible implications for other rates include the taxation of trusts? Are you concerned about the use of trusts to shelter?
I think there are always issues that blow up and be dealt with as we move forward. You obviously note the IRD advice on that matter, which is contained within the report, in the document.
Dr. Cullen, can you say broadly where the spending pressures are, where something may have to give if you go over there?
Excuse me.
Only the broadest outline at this stage. Everything. Everything has to be on the table in terms of potential new spending. What a Labor Day government's not going to do is cut existing spending or cut existing services to pay for tax cuts. But it may have to end up deferring some proposals in a range of areas. So I look forward to Sir Bob Gill coming back again.
Why are some of the options not costing?
Because until we have better definition of what might qualify then it's impossible to put any kind of clear figure on it. And it may look as though the R&D thing, for example, has a huge range of costs, but that's because that depends on whether you're starting from funding all existing R&D or R&D above a baseline of, say, 2005-06 tax year, which is already gone. And obviously that's going to be lower for the initial cost, so that will tend to ramp up reasonably significantly over time. So that's why at this point, really, we're not in a position, I think, to give numbers with any degree of firmness around those other two areas, because we need more design work before we can do that.
Would it be fair to say the comments you've made, and just a quick reading of the document itself, that you lean towards the other changes as opposed to the headline rate cut?
No, I'm sure it'll try and interpret my body language, but I'll caution you against doing so, and I emphasise that I don't see these necessarily as alternatives. Right? This is a menu, not a series of one-off choices. You only have that one, you know. Which one do you get? Make your choice.
Well, is it possible, though, that you, therefore you could come out with on cut the company tax rate to 31 or 32, plus have a bit
of... I think it's a bit pointless at this stage to start getting to that level of hypothetical situations. I mean, that's to sort of get well ahead of ourselves and to do our sort of classic Kiwi press conference thing, let's try and think about the next, the seventh question after the one we're trying to talk
about. But presumably that's the sort of stuff that you're wanting out of the responses.
Oh, and also what businesses are interested in targeted as opposed to simply headline, who benefits from a variety of changes.
Let's put it another way, is there any point in the submitter suggesting one or a 2 cent cut? Is this a 3 cent cut or not?
Well, if you could find a business which will underbid us, that would be interesting, I would think, Vernon, but I don't anticipate it happening. I assume it's more see your 3 and raise your 5 kind of approach.
But it's not a 3 or not?
No. No, definitely. Okay. Thank you.